Amen. Well, God bless you, brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Bishop and Shepherd of our souls. He is the great Shepherd. He is the good Shepherd. One of the great word pictures within the Word of God is the shepherdhood of Christ. May God help us today as we consider Christ. Brethren, the great difficulty of our life is as sheep, we do not want Jesus to shepherd us. We would rather be our own shepherds, but that leads to such struggle. It leads to such suffering. It leads to us going places where we never would have gone, doing things we never would have done. It leads us away from the things that are good and towards those things that are evil. But Jesus Christ, even if He were to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil there, for He is with us. The question that we ought to ask ourselves on an often basis is, Lord, am I shepherding myself, or am I letting You be my shepherd? We often let the things of life dictate what we do. We need to be letting Jesus dictate what we do. We often let the passions of our flesh dictate what we do. We need to be letting Jesus dictate what we do. And there's nothing greater than we can do in all the world than the will of God. And so, please, brethren, as we look at these things today, may we be led into a deeper dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ and a greater relationship with Him who loves us, who is willing to go after the one that leaves the 99 and to take that one out of danger. And you may find yourself in the midst of danger today. You may find yourself one decision away from disaster. The Lord Jesus is ready to come and to take you upon His shoulders and bring you back into the fold. And so please, please let the Lord work in your heart and in your minds today. Turn to Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the Lord is giving prophecy against and judgment against the shepherds of Israel. And we find out by the end of the chapter that the shepherds of Israel are those that are shepherding men. By the way, always remember, God's greatest concern is the people of the world, and His even greater concern are the people that are His, that are saved. Now, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but ever have everlasting life. His love for all people is unbounded and perfect, but His concern and His watch care is most over the people of God. He cares about you. He cares. And He wants the very best for you. And where man fails, the Lord Jesus Christ never fails. Where the shepherds of people's souls, in the Scripture, Peter says to pastors, he says, pastors, make sure you guard the flock of God. It's important. He says, make sure you feed the flock of God. It is important that a pastor does such things. But I want you to know that no man can replace the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has never called a man to do so. He's never called a man to be that for you, except for the man Christ Jesus. Except for the man Christ Jesus. You know, it is my great desire to feed the flock of God. Jesus said to the devil himself, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah says in chapter 10 that your words did come and I did eat them, and they became for me the joy and rejoicing of my soul. It is also been said that the word of God is more necessary than my daily meat, my daily food. Brethren, we can go a day without food. But what great danger we put ourselves in when we go a day without God in His Word. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of our lives. If you take a look there in Ezekiel chapter 34, the Bible says, starting in verse 1, and we'll read quite a bit. May God help us as we do not want to forsake the reading of God's Word. God says in chapter 34, starting in verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? By the way, that's an important thing. The most important thing that I can do as a pastor is to feed the flock of God. When we meet together for Sunday school, it is my desire to feed the flock of God, and that means that I give the Word of God. When we meet together on Sunday morning like this, it is my desire to feed the flock of God, and therefore I will give the Word of God. When we meet together again tonight, it'll be my desire to feed the flock of God and give the Word of God. And we do the same on Wednesdays. Now, we pray a lot more on Wednesdays. You don't get to hear from me as much on Wednesdays. But it's so important that a pastor gives the Word of God, because that is what God has to say. It is not important what I have to say. It is important what God has to say. What I say can be wrong. What God says is never, ever wrong. What I say may rub you the wrong way and lead you to get mad at me. What God says may rub you the wrong way. But if we heed what God says, it'll change our lives. And should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Well, of course. By the way, what happens to a flock that is not fed? It dies. Did you know that sheep cannot lead themselves to water? They cannot lead themselves to a grassy field. Just as the Scripture says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Why? Because we need a shepherd to feed us. We need a shepherd to give us the water we need. By the way, Jesus said, I am the fountain of living water. That's not me. Jesus is the fountain of living water. But here were these shepherds. What were the shepherds to do? I would propose to you, the shepherds are always to lead the flock to the Lord. To the Lord. And by the way, if you're not willing to be led, you will miss out. If you're unwilling to come to the Lord, you will miss out. We live in a day and age where we live in such self-sufficiency that we say we need not God to do what He would have us to do. I don't need to be fed. I'll feed myself. The Lord says, should not shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat unto every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Praise the Lord for that. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. By the way, this passage of Scripture reminds us of so many places in the New Testament where Jesus is speaking. It reminds of Him going after the one and leaving the 99. It reminds us of Jesus saying, they are like sheep without a shepherd. And it's remarkable that this passage that is speaking prophetically of what the Lord will do and is doing for His people. God is our shepherd. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Verse 13, and I will bring them out of the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken and I will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you that to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and have drunk of the deep waters. But you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden down with your feet. They drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Brother, I want you to know that you do not have to depend upon the regurgitated and fouled things of this world. You don't have to take the things that religious leaders say and say, well, I'll take the scraps of that. You have a God who wants to speak to you and is very much able to speak to you. You don't have to go to the muddied waters to drink. You don't have to go to the broken cisterns to drink. You can come to the Lord who is the fountain of living waters. If there's any job that I have, it is to lead the flock of God, fountain of living waters, to the one who restores, the one who makes whole, the one who takes that which is broken and binds it up. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. Verse 22, therefore will I save my flock. I will save my flock. Verse 23, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Oh, praise the Lord for this one shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land. By the way, did you know that we can live safely in this land? It is hard to read the news these days, isn't it? I would imagine that they've said that for all generations. The newspaper's always been a place of bad news. But the news is amazing in the day in which we live. It seems as if the very words of Scripture are being lifted from the page in the day in which we live. We look at our society and we say our society is failing, and it may be. But we and ours can live safely in this world because Jesus Christ is the bishop and shepherd of our soul. How many of you children ever worried about the world in which your children, in which our children, are growing up in? Yeah, no doubt about it. We talked this morning in Sunday school about the devastating ills of drunkenness. I know what can happen to my boy if he finds himself enslaved to that terrible drink. And I'm afraid because it's everywhere. It's on the commercials we see and the ball games that we watch. It's on the shows glorified as the greatest thing that could ever be. I worry about my son, but can my son and my daughters grow up in safety in this world if Jesus Christ is the bishop and shepherd of their souls? May God give the homes of our children, may they be homes of safety. Jesus is able to give us a place of safety. What is it going to take? What prevents us from being willing to allow Jesus to be our shepherd? I want you to take a look all the way back to Genesis. The Lord reveals something to us in a very short and small passage of Scripture. Genesis 46. In Genesis 46, Joseph's brothers have come and have been rescued from starvation. And Joseph tells them to go to gather your families, gather your father, my father Jacob, and come and live in Egypt. Come and live in Egypt. I want you to notice that Joseph tells his brothers that if you're going to come and live in the land of Egypt, that it is the land of Goshen within the land of Egypt that you are going to want to live in. Because it's a land that is not as greatly populated by the Egyptians. That is also a place that is close as you can get to the land of Canaan, which is the promised land. It is a land where you will be able to be safe, and there's a reason why you do not want to go and live in the midst and in the middle of those that live in Egypt. You don't want to go to the cities of Egypt. Now, this isn't a sermon against cities, all right? I think it is for Christians to go into the cities and to give the gospel. It is for churches to start churches in the cities. If there's a place in Rhode Island that needs more churches, now we might say every church, I believe this with all my heart, every town in Rhode Island needs a Bible-believing church. A church that is going to stand firm to the Word of God. A church that is where the preacher is going to stand and tell what the Bible says. We need churches in every town that does that. But if there's a place in all of Rhode Island needs more, it's the city of Providence. If there needs more evangelism, it's the city of Providence. Have you ever gone to the downtowns of Providence with its cobblestone streets near Brown? And you begin to look at all the people and how their whole life consists of the next way they can sin. I remember those days. What's the next way I can sin? Rather than what's the next way I can glorify God? And so this is not a sermon against cities, but it is a sermon about Jesus Christ, who is able to be a shepherd to us, even in the midst of abomination, even those that see us as an abomination. And so if you look there, in verse 34, the Scripture says, that ye shall say, now this is, Joseph is saying, this is what you say to Pharaoh. That ye shall say, thy servants' trade hath been about cattle from our youth even till now. Behold, we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. They got to help us to learn some things about a shepherd. In the Scripture, whenever we see the Egyptians and we see the people of God going to live with the Egyptians, God is giving us a picture of His people living amongst the unsaved, in the midst of the unsaved, amongst those that have no desire within them to know God and to live for God. There's always been this in the world. There's always been this in America, even in our most prosperous of days, even in our most moral of days. But whenever we see these people going and living with the Egyptians are the world and all the things that come with it. The shepherd are God's people. God's people are an abomination unto the world. And I want you to know that's true, isn't it? The more we live for the Lord, the more people are not going to like it. The more you live for the world in your communities, in your workplaces, the more you do things like pray for your meal at a restaurant, people are not going to like it. People are not going to like it. And people will begin to say things. And people will begin to do things. You begin to give the gospel to a people who need to know the Lord and be saved. There are going to be people who don't like it. They're going to come. They will take one who's interested and literally carry them out to keep them from hearing the gospel. Why? Why does this happen? Because the world loves the world and hates God and hates God's people. Now, that was my case. Before I came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved, I did not like Christians who spoke up for Christ. I would make fun of them when they weren't listening. I would belittle them and try as best I can to keep them from having any influence over others. We live in the world. God has told us that we will live in the world. But we do not have to be partakers of the world. We live in the world. But we don't have to do as the Egyptians do. We can do as the shepherds do. Who is the bishop and shepherd of our souls? Who is the chief shepherd? The Lord Jesus Christ. Can we live amongst the Egyptians and live like Jesus does? What happened to Jesus when Jesus lived like Jesus did? He was nailed to a cross. Jesus said, I want you to know, the servant is not above his master. He said, if you live for me, just as I've been persecuted, you too will be persecuted. Because a shepherd is an abomination. The word abomination means that which needs to be cast away or spewed out. When I first got saved, one of the things that I desperately wanted is my friends to know the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And I began to say, you know what, I will go and I'll go to the parties that they are part of. I went with no intention of doing what I once did, and I didn't. I didn't. Because I love the Lord Jesus. And I began to go, and I would begin to talk to my friends. Probably not the most wise thing in all the world. It was very quick that my friends didn't want much to do with me anymore. It wasn't, hey, John, what you doing? Let's go do this. It was, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't know if it's wise for a young person to go to the parties that their friends do. In fact, I'd propose to you that it's an unwise thing. You'll know very quickly why you've gone. If you go to the parties and your friends still like you, still want you to be there, it's very likely that you've become like them and not the other way around. Because if you were there that they might be saved, very likely they would begin to not invite you to go anymore. But I would say this, God's working in the hearts of your friends as you pray for them. When's the last time, young person, you really prayed that the Lord would take hold of your friends' hearts? The ones you work with in your workplaces. You believe that Jesus loves them? I want you to know He does. He wants us to be willing to bear the reproach that Jesus Christ Himself had in this world. To bear that reproach for the sake of our friends. I still have friends I pray for. In a lot of ways, Facebook's a bad thing. But I'm glad, because there's people I would have long ago forgotten about. Now I pray for them. There have been times that I encountered people once again. And I praise the Lord for that once again. Brethren, we are to live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're to rather follow the bishop and shepherd of our souls. We're rather to live like Christ in a world that does not want anything to do with Christ. Your friends, young people, do not want anything to do with Christ unless they're saved themselves. And they prove it to you over and over again. How many times do they need to prove it to you before you say, you know what, it's proven. I don't need to do what they do in order to get them saved. I need rather to pray to the bishop and shepherd of my soul who loves them more than me. By the way, do you believe Jesus loves your friends more than you do? Do you believe He loves your friends more than you do? Whether you believe it or not, it's true. It's true. And so here were these families. They went and they lived in the land of Goshen. Brethren, when you come to this place on Sundays and throughout the week, you are coming to a place where it's safe from the ills of the world. It ought to be, shouldn't it? You know, you may go to work and people bicker, but it ought not to be here. And I praise the Lord, for the most part, we find that to be true. Because this is God's place of safety. You may go to work and you find people backstabbing you, getting you in trouble for what they did. But here, it's not a place for that. Because it's God's. He's the bishop and shepherd of our souls. It's a place that's separated. You may be invited to the family or the holiday parties. Not Christmas parties, by the way. No company does Christmas parties anymore. At least if they're incorporated, they don't, if they're big enough. But you get invited and you go, and there's nothing wrong with it. To go, to be a minister, to be able to be a help, to be there to minister to people the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is you'll often be the heel. And you'll go, and in the drunkenness of people's lives, they'll say things that are hurtful. And they might not even be drunk, need to be drunk to say hurtful things. But here, why would we ever say a hurtful thing? Because this is a place of safety. Because it's the place of God. Brethren, it's important. It's so important for us to gather ourselves together. To gather ourselves together. To give ourselves to the people of God. To give great priority to what God has given priority for. For Jesus died. He died. He died for His church. Brethren, the great danger of Egypt is that we become like the Egyptians. Why did Joseph say, don't live along the Nile, but live in Goshen? Because he did not want to see his family lose what belonged to them in their life for Christ, who is the bishop and shepherd of our souls. If we're going to follow Christ, we have to live in the land of Goshen. May God help us. We live in a day, listen, we live in a day where there is exceeding evil in the world. I believe we live in the days of Matthew 24 where Jesus said that the love of many will wax cold. Therefore, I believe all the more we need to do what Jesus told us to do in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. It says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to be a people who do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting each other, and all the more as we see the day of Christ approaching. In other words, as the world gets worse and worse, let's commit ourselves to each other. Let's go to the land of Goshen, and let's be an abomination to the Egyptians. By the way, it's okay to be an abomination to the Egyptians. It is much better for us to be an abomination to the Egyptians. That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle for from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. It's important that we identify with Christ. Jesus Christ is the bishop and shepherd of our souls. And here were these shepherds. They said, we're going to go. We're an abomination. But we're going to say, hey, I'm a shepherd. They didn't hide it. They said, I'm a shepherd. Therefore, we don't want to live amongst you. We're an abomination. By the way, like I said, given enough time of being a shepherd in the midst of the Egyptians, people will say, why don't you go over there rather than being here with us? Right? Has that ever happened to you? Why don't you go over there? That doesn't mean that we're not nice, kind, loving people. But people are going to not want to hear about Jesus. But we have to identify with Jesus. You see, they were shepherds. If you're saved today, you're, in this instance, a shepherd. Will you identify with your shepherd? Or will you hide it so that nobody knows? It's one thing to be real nice. Oh, that's such a nice person. Is it good for a Christian to be a real nice person? I think wherever we go, we ought to be the nicest people. I think we ought to be the nicest people. But why are we nice? Because of our shepherd. Because the one who died on the cross for our sin. You see, I wasn't nice before I was saved. I'm not that nice now, but at least I'm a little nicer than I was then. But I want to be nice. I want people to think I'm nice. But for the sake of Christ and Him alone. We need to identify with the Lord. Young people, I know it must be so hard to identify with Christ. Teenagers are so mean. Last week we had the Gideons. He talked about this life book. One of the kids in our church said, I want to give my class those. How many of you would be willing to do that? Bring a backpack with 20 of them for your homeroom. so that they can have their own Bible. So I can't do that. That would mean they know that I love the Bible. I read the Bible. I love Jesus. Can't do that because I'll be an abomination. I would challenge you to do it anyway. How many of us, we come to the drive-thru at McDonald's. There's a track sitting in the glove compartment. You begin to think, I should give one of those to the person that I come to. But if I do that, they may not like it. They may say no. They may say no. But it's good to identify with Christ. He'll bless us for it. And then some will take and believe. May God help us to be identified with Christ everywhere we go. Let's bow our heads. Is Jesus the bishop and shepherd of your soul? I want you to know He cannot be your shepherd unless you're one of His sheep. Jesus said, My sheep know My voice, and they come to Me. If you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never asked Him to be your Savior, if you've never trusted that He died on the cross for your sin, your specific sin, the sins that you know you've committed, the sins that you know you've done, and maybe Jesus, the Lord, is the only one who knows you've done them, but you do. There are sins maybe that are going around in your own mind even now. If you've never called upon Him to save you from those sins, that they might not have hold on you anymore, but also so that you might be saved from hell and go to heaven. If you've never called upon Jesus Christ, He is not your shepherd. But He will be if you want Him to. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I want you to know you are not His. The Bible says that you're at enmity with God. But He died to make you His own. And the Bible says all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. Would you ask Him now? It's not a magic prayer. You can't say these words in your mind and be saved. You have to believe that Jesus died for your sin, that He rose from the dead. You have to believe it. In quietness of the moment, if you're here today and you'd say, you know what, I'm not saved. Maybe you thought you were, but now you know you're not. I'm not saved. I'd like to pray with you and lead you in a very simple prayer of faith to the Lord. If that's your case, I won't embarrass you, I promise.